Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda Hari. All glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Omaganath, Timiranda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya Chakshuram Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we're going to talk about the story of the author of the Ramayana, Valmiki Muni, and how he got to be the author, and what we can learn from him. So, Valmiki Muni did not have an ordinary background to his life. Actually, he was a dacoit before he became Valmiki Muni. His name was Loha Junga. There's different names given in the Tulsidas Ramayana and the Valmiki Ramayana, but basically, he was a dacoit. Everybody knows what a dacoit is. A dacoit, gunda. You know what a gunda is? Okay, same thing. So, his business was to actually steal from people, kill people, and he was doing that to please his family. Just like some of you have different businesses. Some of you are taxi drivers, some of you are businessmen. Is anyone here a dacoit? Raise your hand. Gunda. Any gundas here? We do have some. Okay. So, he was a gunda by occupation. And the reason he was a gunda is that in his previous birth, he was cursed to become a gunda. He was a sage in his previous birth by the name of Harita. And he was cursed by Sanat Kumar because he offended Sanat Kumar, and cursed to become a Kurata, as a low-class person. And he fell down due to bad association, because as we know, when you have bad association, even if you're a devotee, you can become a what? Demon. And if you have good association, even if you're a demon, you can become a devotee. I'll give you an example. Krishna had a son, and his son's name was Bhoma. And Bhoma was a nice boy, but he had bad association. He was in the wrong section of Auckland. Not really. Whatever. He associated with the wrong boys. And as a result, he became Bhomasura. And Krishna himself had to kill his son. Terrible. So there's an example of someone who is good who became bad. And there's many examples, and we're going to tell the example of Valmiki Muni, who was bad and became good. So here's the story. So he was doing his gunda business and stopping people. So one day, he happened to stop the Sapta Rishis. These are the seven Rishis, like Agastya Muni, Vashishta, and basically it wasn't a good idea because they didn't have any money. You definitely don't want to stop the Sapta Rishis because there's nothing to steal. But anyway, he stopped them and he said, "Give me your money or your life." And they said, "Don't you understand? This is bad karma." And he said, "I know. I read the Vedic literatures in my previous birth. So I know it's bad karma, but I have to support my family." I mean, sometimes people have occupations that are not so good. Like, nobody supports their family working in a slaughterhouse. It's bad karma. So anyway, so he said that, and they said, "Why do you do this to support your family?" And he said, "Because they love me." Everybody thinks that people love them, but sometimes they love the money rather than you. isn't it? So they said to him, all right, go back home and see if they are willing to share in your karma, your bad karma. Because they're sharing in the money. So they should share in the karma too. So he says, of course they're willing. And they said, just try, ask me. So he goes back home to his wife, and he says, Priya, dear, for those of you who don't speak Hindi. So he says, Priya, I've given you so much. You have so many saris. You have a Mangal Sutra. You have earrings, nose rings. What is that a chain called between the nose and the ear? Okay. Yeah, there's a name for it. So you have so many things. So my dear, would you accept some of the karma from my work? And she said, hell no. You bring me more saris and money, and you know, you can just take the karma yourself. It's your job, not mine. So he thinks, oh my God, let me ask my son. I'll make it a little modern now, this story. So he asks his son, I've given you this iPad. No, not really. That's a little modern version of the story. But I've given you everything. So will you accept part of my karma? The son says no. The same thing happens with the daughter. And then he goes back to the Saptarishis, and he says to them, what can I do to be free from this karma? And they say, well, you could try chanting Ram's name. And he says, I'm too sinful for that. Because one has to be pious to be able to chant Krishna's name or Ram's name. So he said, give me some other mantra. And they thought a second how to give him Ram's name in an indirect way. And they gave him the mantra, Mara. And he thought, this is nice, it means death. So he was very much into the type of music you have nowadays, like rap music and music where they talk about horrible things. So he wanted to chant, death, 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 death. They even have music like that on the radio, isn't it? The young people like to listen to it. So he was chanting, Mara, Mara, and you all know the story. It became Ram. After a while, Mara, 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 Ram, 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 Ram. And he kept chanting, and he became so purified that an anthill grew around him. He's just so absorbed in the holy names of Ram. And then the sages walked by, and they heard the anthill chanting Ram, 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 Ram. And they saw that it was Valmiki. That's why he's called Valmiki, because that's the anthill sage. So he achieved perfection in this particular way. But after he achieved perfection, he had many interesting experiences after that. Once upon a time, he was talking to Narada Muni. And he asked Narada Muni, please tell me, who is that person who is free of anger, free from anger, who is virtuous, who has unlimited prowess, right conduct, always tells the truth? And Narada Muni said, basically, keep chanting and you will realize the person. Because when one achieves the perfection of Krishna consciousness, or Ram consciousness in this case, one gets a spiritual television. Someone asked me a question earlier today. How did Valmiki write about the Ramayana? And how did he even write about the Uttara Ramayana, which were the events to occur in the future, right? Because he was able to tune in to the Lord's pastimes. Many of you have satellite television, right? How many channels do you have here? 200. Nobody knows. None of you are in Maya. Anyway, you have it. I know you have it. I see it in the houses. When I go to visit people's houses, they cover their television set with a cloth. It's part of the altar then, you know. So anyway, so there's so many channels on the television, but if you become a pure devotee of Krishna, you can just throw away your satellite dish. Because you can tune in to any of Krishna's pastimes that are occurring anywhere. Rama's pastimes, Varaha's pastimes, Kurma, Nrisingadev. Isn't that exciting? Yes. You don't have to watch the Mahabharata series anymore, because you can see it directly. So Valmiki Muni was able to see directly not only the past, but the present and the future of what would occur, and therefore he was able to speak it to Lavan Kush, who recited that to Lord Ram. So there's more story about the Ramayana. Actually, the reason it was written in poetry, because there was no poetry before Valmiki Muni appeared in that particular yuga. So he had to invent poetry, Sanskrit poetry, at least on the Earth planet. So what happened is, once upon a time, he was out bathing in the river, Sarayu River, and he saw there was a crane, that's a big bird, a male crane and a female crane, and they were engaged in loving exchanges, and there was a hunter who shot them. And he became so angry at the hunter, he cursed the hunter. And the way he cursed the hunter was in poetry. And that poetry, he was wondering, why have I used poetry, or why have I used this new form for cursing the hunter? And then Lord Brahma came to him and said, this is in the same type of poetry in which you should compose the story of Lord Ram. And he became such a great devotee that not only did he compose that story, but he hosted Sita Devi in his ashram. And he hosted Lavan Kush in his ashram. So this was the benefit of him chanting the names of Ram, even inadvertently, even by accident. And this is technically called Nama Bash chanting. It's very interesting. Because many of you, I just want to glorify Namabhas chanting. But what does Namabhas chanting mean? Namabhas chanting means you're not really chanting to get Krishna consciousness. You're chanting, thinking of something else, like most people chant their job in the morning. Or sometimes people are driving their car. Anybody drive a car and chant japa at the same time? Yeah, she does. So, they even have this little counting device that they can put on their finger nowadays. In the old days, you used the sheep counter. You know what it's clickers, you call them? Oh, you have one right there. Show us. Raise it. Show it to everybody. That's called Namabhas chanting. You can demonstrate it. So, Namabhas chanting, there's one type is you're just mind is somewhere else, you're thinking of something else. And another type of that same type of chanting is when you're referring to something else. Like it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sometimes the people who are Muslims who are attacked by a pig, they chant Ha Ram, which means how horrible. Oh, there's an interesting story about pigs. Let me just tell you the story, as long as we think about Muslims and pigs. You know, in Tirumala, where Balaji is, the Muslims never attacked. So the reason, why do they never attack? It's the richest temple in India. Because someone told them they worship a pig up there. And they were scared, which is true. Lord Varaha. Anyone been to Tirupati or Tirumala? Yeah. So you know that you're supposed to see Varaha Dev, because the story is the land belongs to Varaha and Balaji is paying him rent. So they ran away. So Ha Ram. So that's another type of Namabhas. Another type is Parihas, which means joking. Yeah, you Hare Krishnas, you are so funny. You know, people will see us in Harinam and they'll actually joke with us. And Jarasandha did that. He actually made fun. Oh, that Krishna, I can defeat him at any minute, like that. Another type of Namabhas is called Stova. That's derision, when you actually criticize someone. Like Prabhupada, one time, there was an article in the newspaper And in the newspaper, they were criticizing the Hare Krishna movement. They were saying, these Hare Krishnas, they're just a cult, these Hare Krishnas, they always chant Hare Krishna. These Hare Krishnas, they're fanatic. These Hare Krishnas, they just want to distribute food, make everybody vegetarian. Complete criticism. And the devotees went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what should we do about this article? And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice article. Because they're simply chanting Hare Krishna. Like 100 times in the article. Those Hare Krishnas, those rascal Hare Krishnas. So you get benefit even by criticizing the Hare Krishnas. Of course, don't offend devotees in particular, but you could say those Hare Krishnas in general. And the last one is just chanting Hela, which means deliberately not paying attention. So this Nama Vas is so interesting because I know a lot of you, you like sacrifices. You know, if I mention we're going to have a hovan today, everybody will come, right? Oh, a hovan makes everything auspicious. But the point is, the Nama Vas chanting is more powerful than the Vedas. That's Nama Vas, even inattentive chanting, even meaning something else, even chastising someone with the holy name, is more powerful than all the Vedas put together. Wow. It's more powerful than any coven, any swaha business you can do. Swaha. You know what I mean? Swaha, swaha, swaha. Hare Krishna. Like Prabhupada, I'll give you an example. And then Prabhupada taught us, like, the deities in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, were installed, and Prabhupada had a lot of people come to do the swaha business. You know, a lot of Brahmins, ritualistic Brahmanas, and they put their little fancy hats on, like you see, and all these fancy things. And Prabhupada actually said the deities were installed by the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Puna Shuddha Nichimukto, Vina Kwam Nama Namino, it's non-different than Krishna. You can't get any more powerful than that. If you want a powerful mantra, and Namabhat Chandi liberates you, you get free of the material world. Namabhas chanting gets rid of all your bad karma. Pretty good, isn't it? Wow. Even Namabhas chanting gets you all these things. And, of course, there's a limit to Namabhas chanting. I'm not saying that you should all just like Namabhas chant for the rest of your lives. But it takes you up to the doorway of liberation. Of going back to the spiritual world. It liberates you, but it takes you up to the doorway of Vaikuntha. But you got to do more to enter Vaikuntha. So, I've got to tell a few stories about Nama Vas, in addition to Valmiki Muni's story. And actually, let's start with the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a lot of interesting things described, the hells. You know, what happens if you violate religious principles. For example, if a Brahmin drinks liquor, guess, does anyone know what happens to a Brahmin who drinks liquor? Anybody know the fifth canto here? What? He gets what?
Drink hot iron.
Yes, a drink hot lead. Iron's not good enough for him. So he also gets lead poisoning too at the same time. So a Brahmin, there's higher responsibilities if someone's a Brahmin. So if a Brahmin drinks liquor, and I know liquor is very popular nowadays, not with all of you. But, you know, I go to India and I see liquor stores every half block. Because in India, people trying to imitate the West, not a good idea. I came from the West and I'm trying to imitate India. I'm more Indian than the rest of you. Believe me. Especially more than your children. So a Brahmin, he gets to drink hot lead. And if someone engages in illicit life, he gets to embrace a red or white hot form of a lady or a man. Heavy punishments. So after this whole description is over in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, who is listening to these instructions or descriptions, he asked Shukadeva Goswami a question. And that question is, how can we free the people from these things? You know, what is the method? Because Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are very compassionate. They don't want people to suffer. Some of us, when we read the fifth canto, we say, Jai, sounds great. Let those demons suffer. Hari Bol. But a pure devotee is a Jatashatra. He has no enemies. He's Karunika. He's Surada Sarvadehina. He's full of mercy. He's a friend to all living entities. So he asked the question. Parikshit Maharaj asked the question. And Sukadeva Goswami answers, well, first he sort of tricks Parikshit Maharaj. He gives him the wrong answer. Sometimes the guru will actually give you the wrong answer just to see if you're alert. Like he'll trick to see if you're just a blind follower. Like Prabhupada tricked us sometimes like that. One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Los Angeles, and they passed a very nice car, and Prabhupada said, in the future we will have many big cars like that. And all the devotees went, Jai Prabhupada. They passed a big building, and Prabhupada said, in the future we will have so many big buildings like that. And the devotees said, Jai Prabhupada. Then they passed a big dog. And Prabhupada said, in the future we'll have so many big dogs like this. And everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you're all so foolish. Anything I say, you'll say Jai to. So in this part of the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami was testing Parikshit Maharaj. He said, well, they want to overcome the sinful reactions, they have to do something called prayaschitta. I'll describe that word. It means atonement. Basically, I guess you stand on your head for about 2 years, or on your tiptoes, or don't eat. You know, sometimes people do that. Even in our community, they have some, not on the tiptoes, obviously, but they'll give up their favorite food for like a month or something like that. So, Parikshit Maharaj, he replied. He said, no, it doesn't work, because it's like an elephant bathing. Like in certain religions, they have something called confession. During the week, they sin, and on Sunday, they say, please forgive me, God. And the next week, the same thing happens, and God is getting bored. He's hearing the same sins. It's like watching a Bollywood movie. Isn't it? Yeah, it's boring. The same thing. Been there, seen it, done it. So, therefore, that doesn't work. This prayaschitta, you know, atonement, special austerities, because one keeps the seed of desire to do those same things. So ultimately, Sukadeva Goswami answers in a very nice verse in the sixth canto. He says, Tadmat Sankirtanam Vishnor. Jangan Mangalam Angasam Mahapi Akvikaravya Vijakantaga Nishkritam. He says the only method of actual atonement or purification or saving people from going to hell is Sankirtan, chanting the Lord's holy names. So I'll tell three other stories that illustrate this point. One is the famous story, in the sixth canto, let's start with that, is the story of Ajamil. Very, very similar to the story of Valmiki Muni. So Ajamil started off life really nice. And then he fell into illicit association, gave up his nice wife, mistreated his parents, and was doing all sorts of sinful things to support the individual he married after giving up his wife. And so, very, very simple, he was killing, he was stealing, same thing as Valmiki Muni. Yet, he had one aspect that gave him good fortune. And that was he named his child, what? Narayan. That's why all of you should give your children spiritual names. I mean, if you give your children a name, even though you're in the West, Albert, or John,
or Joe.
Then when you're dying, if you chant Albert, 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 what will happen? You won't become Albert. You know, I don't know what will happen. So instead, if you have your children's name, then you're always chanting your children's names. You're chanting God, that's Nama Vas. So you're chanting, you know, Krishna Das, come here. I want to spank you, Krishna Das. You rascal, Krishna Das. So anyway, so in this way, there's great benefit. So Ajambil was like that, and he was getting ready to die. And he was chanting Narayan, Narayan. And these nice people came to get him first. They're called Yamadutas. Yamadutas are called Yamadutas because, of course, they're the servants of Yamaraj, but the word Yam means restrictions. In yoga, we have two things, Yam and Niyam. There are two parts of the Ashtanga yoga system. Yam means restrictions, Niyam means positive injunctions. So if you don't follow the restrictions, guess what? You see the Yamadutas. So you got Yam or Yamadutas, your choice. So anyway, so the Yamadutas came, but because he was chanting Narayan, Narayan, the Vishnudutas came, Namavash. And they protected him from the Yamadutas. But he didn't go back to Godhead at that point, because he only got liberated, that's what I mentioned before. And after that, he had to execute austerities. His life was prolonged, was made longer. And then he executed austerities, and eventually he went back to home, back to God. The same Vishnudutas that came to pick him up before, or save him before, took him back to God. So that's a wonderful story of Ajambil. So another story that, one of my favorites, is the story of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. Once upon a time, there was a great devotee, always chanting Hare Krishna. He's called the Nama Acharya. And he was chanting the holy names, and people didn't like it because he was also born in a Muslim family, and people wanted to defame him. So what they did, this one person, Ramchandra Khan, he sent a prostitute to try to attract him. So prostitution is not exactly a pious activity. So she went, and she was quite attractive. So she saw Haridas Thakur, and she said, Haridas, you're so young and attractive. I love you. And he said, just wait, I got to finish my rounds today. So she was listening to the holy names. Very sinful person, but listening to the holy names. And after three nights of waiting, she started chanting to and offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant. And then she realized that she was doing something sinful, became completely reformed, surrendered at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just by chanting the Lord's holy names. Amazing. And the final story I'll tell is of two personalities named Jagai and Madai. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. That Jagai and Madai were originally from Brahmin families. They were called Jagadananda and Madhavananda. But by bad association, they also took up drinking and womanizing and all those other things like that. But they even attacked Lord Nityananda later on, but that's part of the story. What happened is that they set up their drinking business right outside of a place called Srivas Angam, which is where Lord Chaitanya's kirtans were going on continually. And so they were imitating, in a drunken stupor, the chanting of Harinam. And as they were imitating, they were getting purified. And so later on, they were able to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what can we learn from all these stories? We can learn, as Krishna says, as it says in the Bhagavatam, akama sarva kama moksha kama daradi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. What that means is that whoever you are, whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or you desire liberation, you take up Krishna consciousness and chant the holy name, because you will be successful. And even with Nama Bash, your business will be successful. I tell that to people sometimes, and it works. Let's say you're a businessman, and I've had so much experience with businessmen, no mention names, and you say, just chant the holy names of Krishna, do Govardhan Parikrama, and your life will be successful. So you even get Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. These are the four Purusharthas. Because many of you are not interested right now in Krishna Prema. Because Krishna Prema is a very high platform. What does that mean? Krishna, you can do anything you want. You can crush me by your embrace. You can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. That's Krishna Prema. Is anyone ready for that? No. No volunteers here. See, or is anyone ready, like Queen Kunti says, please let these difficulties happen again and again. Anyone ready for that? Pray for difficulties so I can remember Krishna. Anyone ready to do that? I'm not. I pray to Krishna, please let these difficulties never happen again. You know, so many difficulties. And Prabhupada said we should not pray for more difficulties. So even if you're not on the high platform, and sometimes people think they're on the high platform and they're not on the high platform, but even if you're not on a high platform, chant Krishna's names. And then you'll be happy. Your life will be successful. You'll be liberated. Even if you chant accidentally, and there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Don't have to be initiated to chant. Of course, it's a good idea to take initiation eventually. But then you have to chant 16 rounds. It's all right. Start with one round. Two rounds. You will find your life will change. In all aspects, your life will be successful. Even if you do it accidentally, jokingly, or you use a clicker. Thank you, guys, you know. It's all right. Not the best. But it's all right. But ultimately, when you do that, you will become like Valmiki Muni. And ultimately, you will see Krishna face to face. And ultimately, you will shake hands with Krishna. And ultimately, you will realize your spiritual identity in the spiritual world. One of five different rasas. You'll be a servant. You'll be a friend of Krishna. You'll be a parent of Krishna. Conjugal love with Krishna. Or just worship Krishna in a passive way. And then you'll be happy eternally and go back to home, back to Godhead. So that's the lesson we can learn from Valmiki Muni. To me, that's one of the most important lessons of the Ramayana. There's many lessons from Ram's pastimes, his dedication to his father, Lakshman's dedication to his brother, many lessons. So when we read the Ramayana, is what I like to leave you with, apply it to yourself. It's not just a story to entertain you. There's many things you can learn from the Ramayana. Think of Ram's dedication to truth. Think of Ram's dedication to his wife. Think of Sita's dedication to her husband. Think of Ram's dedication to his citizens. Just think of it and learn Dharma. Rama's Maryada Purushottam. So apply the Ramayana in your life and your life will be perfect. So any questions, or I think it's time for RT or Guru Puja? Yeah.
Beginning of that class, you were telling that Valmiki Rishi was a Rishi in his previous life.
Yeah, he was a Rishi named Harita in his previous life.
What was the story that he...
He was cursed by Sanat Kumar because he offended the saint. You find many stories like this in the Ramayana, like these different, Virata who tried to kidnap Sita Devi. You know that story? He was also like a demigod, and he made he offended a sage, and Kabanda, who had arms 8 miles long, he offended Astavakra Muni. He made fun of him. He said, "You're ugly," and the sage said, "You become ugly," and he became very ugly. Then he fought with Indra, and Indra pushed him down, so he just became a big ball with a stomach and a mouth. With long arms. That's Kabanda. Anyone remember Kabanda in the Ramayana? And so Ram and Lakshman ultimately had to cut his arms when he tried to take prasadam with Ram and Lakshman. And they had to put him in a pit to burn him, because that's the way you kill rakshasas. If you ever run into a rakshasa, you can't kill him with a knife or anything like that. Put him in a pit and burn him. So that's, you learn how to take care of rakshasas then too, from studying the Ramayana. So anyway, so there's so many stories of curses. I mean, Dasarath got cursed, right? And in the Mahabharata, you have Pandu getting cursed. So curses play a very important part in all these stories. So don't get cursed. That's another point. Don't commit offenses against Vaishnavas. We should serve the Vaishnavas, because if we don't serve them, they won't curse us. But the dust of their feet may get a little upset at us. So, any other questions or comments before we have the Guru Puja? If not, we want to thank everybody very much for listening to this discussion about what we can learn from the Ramayana. And all glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ramchandra Bhagavān ki jai! Here you go.